This sermon was supposed to have happened last Sunday night when we got iced out. And, of course, we announced that we're canceling service and the skies opened up and birds began to sing. And Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We want to just preach on tonight, just some things concerning the church. Last Sunday was I Love Our Church, Love Church Sunday. We preached on the church being, as by way of analogy, by Paul, the body and the building and the bride. Understanding that the church is not this building, the church is the people. And it's very hard sometimes for us to just understand and acknowledge and come to the realization that this body of believers could meet anywhere and we would still be Heritage Baptist Church. If we met down at the park, we're still Heritage Baptist Church. If we met at the ball field at the back of our property, we're Heritage Baptist Church. The building in and of itself is not spiritual. It's just a facility in which we have paid for with the Lord's money. Amen? And so that makes it special, but it has no spiritual, it's not any more spiritual than your home is. It's a building. It's a tool to be used for the Lord's work. So I want to emphasize again, the church in the Bible, the church found in the Bible, is a group of organized, baptized believers fulfilling the Great Commission. It's a called out assembly of born-again, baptized believers fulfilling the Great Commission. And again, Heritage Baptist Church can meet anywhere. The church is not the building. The church is the people, our church family. And by the way, we are a family. I loved the little video a while ago. I think it does several things. I think it kind of jogs you a little bit and says, you know, for me anyway, because I grew up in church. I know all the religious, you know, all the religious terminology. I take for granted that everybody else knows it. And so sometimes it's good for us to remember, hey, for instance, one of the things I've been talking a little bit about lately is calling people brother. I've always done that. It's brother, you know, Brother Kirby. It's Brother Clark. It's Brother Feaser. And in the church I grew up in, some did and some didn't call, you know, Sister Jacoby, Sister whomever. And so I never really got in the habit of calling the ladies Sister so-and-so. But the men, we did. The men was Brother, you know, Brother Kevin. I mean, that's just the way it is. But sometimes it's good for us to kind of look from the outside in and say, you know, there's people who come to our church who have no idea what we're doing. They think we're some kind of cult, calling each other brother and whatever. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what it means. We are. I'm Brother Eric, you know. And this is Sister Tanya. And so we call that to each other because that is what we are biblically. And we are a church family. Another point of the church not being the building. We are the church. We are Heritage Baptist Church. We're a church family that God has brought together. And what a blessing it is. But sometimes in your own mind, it might be good to think about, you know, hey, visitors are looking, especially someone who's never been in church before, and look at us saying, brother, so I love that little video. Other things we've done. We'll talk about more about that in a moment. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I hope in your Bible you ought to have that underlined. So walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in faith. Does it say in faith or the faith? That's in there for a reason. I'm glad I'm rooted and established in the faith found in this word. Not just any faith, but the faith. Rooted and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I just want to emphasize again that in order to be a healthy Christian, as a healthy Christian, we must walk in Him. We must walk with the Lord. We must have that daily walk with Jesus Christ. And by that I mean, it means you're reading your Bible daily. You're spending time with Him in prayer daily. You're learning and you are developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what He desires. If you go back to the Old Testament, it's very clear, and the New Testament, very clear, that we were created for His good pleasure. We were created to have a personal relationship with Him. That is His desire. I want to encourage you, to be a healthy Christian, you must develop a personal relationship with Jesus. And this is something sure, church is a part of that, but it's certainly not the overall picture of it. In other words, it needs to be done daily by you. You know, if I just talk to my dad, you know, growing up, if I was living at home as a kid and I just talked to my dad on Wednesdays and Sundays and my mom on Wednesdays and Sundays, it would be a little problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Not much of a family, is it? Not much of a personal relationship. If I just talked to my wife on Wednesdays and Sundays, no comments. After the message this morning, you cannot comment on that. You better be careful. I sure enjoyed my dad's preaching this morning. I don't care if he's my dad or not. Wasn't that just very down where the rubber meets the road? Very plain talk. Enjoyed that this morning. If you didn't get a chance to hear my dad preach, you can go online and watch it. But if you just talk to your spouse on Wednesdays and Sundays, it sure wouldn't be much of a personal relationship. God desires a personal relationship with you, and it's on a daily basis. And sure, from time to time you miss a day here, miss a day there, and He's not going to strike you with lightning if you do that. Hello? But He desires that personal relationship, a consistent relationship with Him. In order for us to live a healthy Christian life, we must develop a personal walk with Jesus. In order to develop a healthy church, we also must follow some biblical principles. And a few of those, and we've covered these before, as number one is to continue to follow a biblical purpose. And we talk about this, we talked about this last Sunday morning, a biblical purpose. The purpose of the church is to win people to Jesus, to spread the gospel. That is the purpose. To love God, and their purposes are up on the wall over here. Love God, grow together, and serve others. And in those purposes, our three purposes as a church, is to find the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and the serving others, growing together, that we as a church grow together in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this through the preaching of the Word of God, through Sunday school, through the teaching, through Master's Club, through Children's Church, all of these areas growing together. And then, of course, loving God. And we're going to actually cover that next Sunday morning. But as a church, in order to be a healthy church, we must follow our purposes. In other words, never get caught up in this day and age in the society, seeker-sensitive type churches that have gone from glorifying and making God first to making man first. God needs to continue to be our purpose. Our purpose needs to continue to be laid out as winning people to Jesus. I again want to encourage you as a church family, that yes, I enjoy fellowship, and that is about growing together. And yes, I enjoy pecan pie and chocolate cake. I enjoy all those things. I enjoy sitting around and talking with my fellow believers and family. But all those things aside, the purpose primarily of the church is to win people to Jesus Christ. And as long as we keep that purpose, number one, preaching the gospel, soul winning, preaching the gospel, soul winning, God will bless it and we'll be a healthy church. Number two, a healthy church is one that has a spiritual passion, one that is rooted in Christ, one that's rooted in Christ and not religion. We need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the packaging of church, but we need to be caught up in the relationship of church. In other words, be in relationship with Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in Him. And this can be an issue with a church that is follows the same schedule every Sunday. And we did that for years. We just changed it the other day. And as you can tell this morning, I still got crossways with the schedule. And so we need to be careful and continue to be led by the Spirit as to our worship of Him collectively, but also individually, led by the Spirit. A spiritual passion. Do you have a passion to be filled with the Spirit? Have you ever prayed that prayer, Lord, fill me? Amen? That's what we're talking about. A healthy church is one who's uncompromised in their position. And I believe this is not an area we have a particular problem with, that we continue to be uncompromised, that we are a Baptist church, that we are a King James Bible church, that we are traditional in our music, and that we are Christ-honoring in our music, and that we seek to please God and Him alone. Our audience is not the people. Our audience is the Lord. As long as we're pleasing Him, we don't have to worry about pleasing everybody. I've only got one audience to please. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay uncompromised in our position. By the way, we live in a politically correct age. And we need to be careful, as a pastor, I need to be careful, that we don't compromise our position to placate to the crowd. Help me out. I need your help. I don't want to be alone up here. It's tough. A healthy church is one that has God's power. Boy, I really believe, just as in our own lives, we must pray for God's help. We must pray for God's grace and God's power. We collectively need to do the same thing. Lord, I'm telling you, I'm humbled, and I know some of you pray for me, but everyone needs to pray for the Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So everybody needs to pray for the preacher as he preaches. You need to be doing that every day. I don't care if it's me preaching or Brother Wiggins preaching, or if it's Brother Zellner teaching on Thursday nights, Brother Cox, Brother Renz, whomever, Brother Dickerson, we're getting to know him more. Whoever's preaching up here, you need to pray for them. And specifically, pray for God's power. I prayed this morning for my dad that God would fill him with the Spirit and give him power from on high, that God would give him the words to say that would touch hearts. And we need that. We absolutely need God's power. We need that. I'm talking about, I know you need it in your life. I need it in my life. I'm talking about collectively. We need revival. America needs revival. And America's only going to see revival if the churches see revival. And I'm telling you, this is an area, if all of these areas were set aside, this is probably the area most lacking in our church. And probably every other church you go to. God's power. Just God's power. And I dare say probably 15 or 20 may be praying for it. Maybe because I haven't mentioned it enough. Come on. Put it on your prayer list. Put it on your prayer list. Pray for God's power. A healthy church is one with God's power. A healthy church is a growing congregation spiritually that's pursuing a personal walk with God individually and collectively, that we're growing as a family. And at times we see in our own church, we can look back and say we saw spiritual growth here, but maybe backlash a little bit, then up and down. And we want to continue to see our church go forward. I like having the themes every year because it helps us kind of stay a direction that year and emphasize something that year that we may be all lacking in. And so we try to encourage, and whether it's standing firm in the faith or launching out into the deep and just trying to grow our faith, grow spiritually in the Lord. A healthy church is one that insists on purity. And listen, God's not going to bless a person who's in sin. And God's certainly not going to bless a church that allows sin to reign in it. And so we need to be careful as Paul corrected the church at Corinth many, many, many times when they got off into immorality and doing wrong, that we as a church need to stay pure as well. And it's important. It really is. I believe in that principle, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. I believe the Bible principle is that you individually affect us collectively. You do. I affect the collective family. I don't know about you, but in your personal family, when there's someone in your personal family who is not quite right, something's off, it just sets the whole family off a little bit. It does the same thing in the church. So I encourage you individually, God will bless a church that remains pure. And it is important for my dad like this morning to get up and say, you know what, adultery is wrong. You know, fornication is wrong. You know, I'm telling you, drinking alcohol is wrong. That's one of those areas today that really ticks me off, that our government can crack down on cigarettes. But man, you can drink all you want. And our president can get up and say, you know, pot's okay. And, you know, he didn't say that, but he said pot was the same as drinking. And it's crazy. Drinking by far destroys more family than smoking ever did. And it's not even a close race. And so it's good for the pastor to get up. It's good for the evangelist to get up. It's good for outside preachers to get up and say, you know what? Christians, we should hold a standard. We should live pure lives. We should live holy lives. And it's not wrong to come to church and get your toes stepped on. It's right. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. It's good for us to come to church every once in a while and feel like somebody punched us in the gut. Certainly, as I told my new members class this morning, certainly it's important to come to church and be exhorted and feel good, and that is part of it. But man, if you join a church where your toes are never stepped on, you're not in a church. You just joined a parade. You just joined a motivational speaker, whoever's speaking in the pulpit. Okay, I'll move on. That's my soapbox. A healthy church is one that's pure. A healthy church is one that is pliable. And this is probably an area that I need to be better at, and that is one that's led by the Spirit. Tender to the leadership of God, pliable in transition. In other words, I like the things to stay the same. I went to Lonesome Spur this afternoon to the cafe, I ordered the same exact meal that I've been ordering for the last 7 or 8 years. Not even, I'm talking about the same exact sides. So much that all the waitresses in there know who I am, and most of them don't even ask anymore. They just bring me the plate. I'm that way. And a lot of guys and some ladies are geared that way. I like everything to be the same. I do. I like structure. I like to, if I had it my way, I'd get up at the same time every day, go to bed at the same time every day. It would all be structured that way. No room for the Holy Spirit. You know, no leading of the Holy Spirit. Even in our services, I think we sometimes do get in a rut. And, you know, what if sister so-and-so, I said it, our brother so-and-so, what if God touched my heart and said, you know, I think we ought to have so-and-so sing. If I was to do that, if I was to take somebody who was on the schedule to sing and say, you know what, I'd like to replace you this morning and put somebody else in. Man. Not everybody, all right? You're going to go around and get the special singers list out and say, I wonder who the preacher's talking about. All of us are that way. I mean, we're all somewhat that way. And so I think it's important that as a church that we do leave room for the Holy Spirit to lead us. Like this morning, I promise you, I almost told my dad, now, Dad, you're supposed to be finished 15 minutes till. I was going to tell him that before the service. We got in a little late. I didn't have time to tell him. And I promise, I'm setting up here. I promise is what I'm thinking. It's terrible that I was thinking this. I said, I know how long my dad preaches. I need to go down there and tell him that he's got 15 minutes till he needs to stop. And then just a little knock said, no, don't do that. You know, I didn't say a word to him. We need to leave room for the Holy Spirit. The preacher wants to preach 15 minutes over. And he ought to have that ability to do that. And so, led of the Spirit. And sometimes that goes with music, too. We just need to be careful. I would love, a couple Sundays ago, the choir sang an amazing song. And I want the ability to step up and say, you know what, choir, I think you should sing that one again. You know, just have that leading, have that ability, whether it's myself or Brother Wiggins or one of our other pastoral guys, just saying, hey, I think the Lord's leading me this way. Or one of you, you know, within reason. We don't want no snakes in the building, okay? It's not a snake church, okay? We're not going to be lifting up any serpents in here. Holy Spirit pliability. A church that's growing is usually in transition. And I tell you, the church that's growing is going to change. We've said this several times in the pulpit over the last 3 or 4 years. That there are, it's just the way it is. Because the church is growing, because families are joining, what a blessing the last 3 or 4 Sundays, just the families joining and people getting baptized. And with that comes change. And it may mean you can't stay, you know, you may not get to sit in the same seat you've always sat in. It may mean that, I don't know, various things. Things change. I hate that. But they do. And so we as a church and individuals need to be willing to change with them. A healthy church is always in the soul winning business. In other words, always has a process whereby the church members can get involved in soul winning. And we have that. Not only should you be involved in soul winning at your job and to your neighbor and to coworkers, but collectively as a group, we show up on Tuesday night and Saturday morning to go out in our community and spread the gospel. And I want to encourage you to be a part. We saturate our community at least twice a year. We try to pass out about 10,000 flyers. We usually get pretty close to that. And passing out, saturating our community, let them know we're here. And we do it consistently. We do it systematically. And we need to strive and continue to do that. God blesses that. I love it. There's a family here tonight because they received a cup on their door this last summer. They're here tonight. So it works. You doing the new move-ins and showing up at a home and leaving a little bag, it works. And it may not work the next Sunday, but you know what? They might show up 3 or 4 months, 6 months later. I don't know how many people. And I think it was me and Brother Clark, we were getting the rock for this dumpster enclosure. We went right over here on Bond's Ranch and picked up some rock and went in to buy it. And the person who was selling me the rock said, this has been several, 3 or 4 years back, he said, I drink out of your cup every morning. Yeah. Yeah. And they still have never darkened the door of our church, never have come, but they drink out of our cup. He said, I drink out of y'all's cup every morning, coffee cup. So anyway. as we continue to go forward and continue to grow, we need to continue to repeat the main thing, and that's preaching and soul winning. Preaching and soul winning. I'm going to continue to try to emphasize that more. Both of those, preaching and soul winning. And then lastly, a growing, healthy church is one that is Christ-centered. And this is something we have to continually work on, that every service, that we continue to be Christ-centered in that service, and Christ-centered in our praise to Him. I personally, it is my preference that we don't clap after people sing. It's my preference. I've not found the Bible anywhere. I think there's a biblical principle behind it, because we're not singing to you, we're singing to the Lord. We're not here to perform. We're not here to perform. We're here to praise Him. And my personal opinion is that when we clap after when someone sings and we do those type of things, that we are, I don't think people are clapping and praising the Lord at it. I think they're clapping and praising the person singing. My personal opinion. And so at our church, we have chosen not to clap after people sing. I think also, secondly, I think there is a tendency towards that showmanship. There's a tendency towards, you'll notice at our church, we're not opposed to people when they sing to necessarily make a lot of movements, but they're not here to draw attention to themselves while they're singing. They're there to sing to the Lord and not draw attention to themselves. We just try not to be in the entertainment business. We're not in the entertainment business. And yes, our church still crosses a line every once in a while, and I can't tell you exactly where that line is. But I wanted us to do our very best to stay on this side of the entertainment line and not try to cross it. Because a lot of churches have. In fact, my opinion is most churches have. They have. And so let's do our very best to keep the praise to Christ, to keep Him lifted up, to keep from becoming a part of the age of today, the entertainment age, and keep Christ-centered. Christ-centered preaching, Christ-centered singing, and not self, as my dad said this morning, or seeker-sensitive, but to be Christ-sensitive. Everything we do, we must give glory to Him. I give glory to God for this church. Just think about all the... I was rehearsing this morning with a new members class or the starting point class. I was rehearsing everything that God had done for us and from the storefront on through. By the way, Mr. Raleigh, when he walked out the door this morning, said that remember the walk-in freezer in the old storefront? The walk-in freezer, we tore it out, and that's where my office ended up being. My office was 7 by 11 with that 7.5-foot ceiling in it, no window. Going to a cave. 3.5 years in there, but it was nicely done. Our men never do anything halfway. It was a beautiful little office. And Mr. Riley had given me a little desk that fit in there just right. I still have the desk. But he told me this morning as he walked out, he still has the door to that walk-in freezer. He said, I don't know why I kept it. I said, bring it to the church. We'd love to have it. We'll set it up somewhere in the archives. But you wouldn't believe what that storefront, how it was just totally transformed. And our men and ladies worked so hard to make that place a place of worship. And it's just so nice to go back and recall what great things God has done for us. From the storefront to the buildings we're in now, God has been so good to us. And so we need to be careful as a church that we keep the main thing, praise, preaching and soul winning, and that in some practical ways, though, we can help. Let me give you these practical things. I gave them to you. I usually give them to you about every 2 years. It's been 2 years since I've given them to you the last time. So let me give you some practical things. You ready? And then we'll be done. Number one, the way you can practically help your church, number one, is say amen. We say this a lot from the pulpit. I don't want our church to lose the shout. I believe the churches that lose their shout lose. I mean, I'm talking about eventually lose everything. I mean that. I never want to go into a church service where it's creaky, 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 creaky. And we have two or three men who are just tremendous ameners. And I'm telling you, when they're not here, it's pretty quiet. So some of you need to become ameners. And not like this. Amen. think somebody noticed me. Now, we're not one of those churches that we want you to jump a pew either. Mr. Todd used to do that, right? I miss Brother Todd. Brother Todd would get to talking to me while I was preaching. But there is a line you don't want to cross where you're drawing attention to yourself rather than to the Word of God. But we want you to say amen. Ladies, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't get at it, you know. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory, whatever you'd like to say. I say that's right a lot. Brother Clark does too. There's a few of those terms. All you're saying amen just simply means I agree. Preacher, you wave a hanky, brother. By the way, I'm going to have to start carrying a hanky. I've told my wife. I've got to remember to do that. I've got old men. Y'all don't want me to go there? I need the ability to wipe my mouth. I do. Anyway, now you're all going to be watching me. But saying amen is important. It's important as we go forward that we don't lose that. And it could be easily done in just a matter of months. I'm telling you, I've seen it in other churches. And even this church, a couple of times, you could feel that, boy, just don't let that happen. Amen? And it doesn't mean you have to force it either, like I just did to you. There was a time I got in the habit of, when I was preaching, of saying amen all the time. Brother A.B. Henderson, he got with me, corrected me. But anyway. By the way, I asked him, I said one time, I said, Brother Henderson, is there something in my preaching that, because I'm always concerned about like jiggling my change or something. That's why I don't put change in my pockets. And I don't want to get in the habit of doing, you know, some guys mess with their glasses. And he said, Preacher, you got in the habit of saying amen to yourself. I said, okay. It's okay to do every once in a while, but all right, so that's a side note. But I don't want to be the only one amening up here, okay? Amen. And again, I encourage you ladies, don't hold back. Lord touched your heart about something? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Sick 'em, preacher, you know. Bark that tree, you know. Bark that tree. Bark. B. Bark that tree. Here's another one. Shake that bush. Preacher, shake that bush. No, don't do that. It's a preacher thing. All right, I'll go on. Say amen. Number two, sing out. This is an area I definitely know we have kind of shrunk back a little bit in this particular building. And I want to encourage you. Get a song book. And you'll notice me on purpose. I know all these songs by heart. And I don't mean I'm trying to be anything other than what I am. I get the song book on purpose. I want you to see that I'm going to sing the song. And most of the time up here, I'll out-sing most of the guys. I'm going to sing it loud. My dad sings loud and he can't sing. You know, just Bible says, Proverbs says there, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't matter if it's good or not, make a joyful noise. So I want to encourage you, wherever you're sitting, to get a psalm book and sing. And we used to have some guys who just sat back there and did this. I don't know of anybody who does that now. But we have in the past. But don't ever become that guy or that lady. And get your psalm book, sing, and sing. I say that not only for your benefit because you're praising the Lord, but for the visitors' benefits as well. It really does. It makes a difference. By the way, though, you know, we sing the old hymns around here. To some people that's boring. Only boring if you let it be boring. If you're the one singing it, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. I mean, if you're singing it, golly, and the song leader's getting it, it's awesome. You know, sing it that way. I mean, I need to go on. Number three, these are all just practical stuff, practical ways to help the church. Three, shake hands. I want to encourage you in this as well. We can get caught up in just shaking everybody, our own people's hands. Look for visitors. Shake their hands. When we do the little going around on Sunday mornings, look for those individuals who are still in the pews. You know, make sure you go out of your way to shake their hands. Look them in the eye. Ask their name. Tell them your name. and just say, hey, I'm glad you're here. It makes a difference. And so encourage you to look for visitors. And let's be careful of distinguishing between visitors. God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we. Amen. And y'all know what I'm talking about. We need to be careful. Be careful. Recognize those who are staying in their chair. Those of you, there's some of our visitors who have been coming a while, and most of them sit in the same spots. Do you know their names? You know, like if you're sitting in this section and you know there's a couple of visitors that sit in that section all the time, or this section or that section, I think you really ought to try your best to learn their names. It's not just about being friendly, it's about befriending someone. And we have the friendliest church in the world. Absolutely. And I think the visitors who are here tonight would attest to it. You come to our church, your hands are going to get shook. You are going to be looked in the eye. You are going to be thanked for being here. All these things. But even more so than being friendly is to befriend people. Shake their hands, learn names, so forth. This is an area we always struggle in. And I don't know. We can do anything. We can rearrange the chairs any way we want, but it's still hard to get people to sit down front. All you at the back are going, preacher, stop it. I mainly mean on Sunday morning, all right? Sunday morning, I want to encourage you guys to come down front. Now, on Sunday night, you guys that got the new little ones that are coming from the nursery out here, I encourage you to sit in the back. Is Zeke in here tonight? Where's Zeke at? Is he back there? Hey, Zeke, stand up, man. Let's see Zeke. Everybody see Zeke? You know, you get these up on the chair so we can see you. Come on, man. Let's see it. There's Zeke. I know Jances and some have brought the new ones out here. Man, sit in the back. Teach those kids to mine. Rest of you, sit down front. Yeah, within reason. Yeah. But I do want to encourage you Sunday morning. We took a few chairs out, and I promise you, on our end, it's worked. Because there was nobody sitting in the middle of these sections. Now they do. You know, they come in, they sit down. But just want to encourage you. On Sunday mornings especially, come and sit down front. You get spit on down here. During the invitation, I just encourage you to start down the first invitation on the first stanza. In other words, if God spoke into your heart, and I understand sometimes you're sitting there and God continues to work on you, but you going down first may encourage someone else to go down. So I just want to encourage in that way. That's another area Dr. Henderson was such a stickler in. Man, he might only have a verse. Nobody comes down, he's done, you know. And I feel the same way. Come on down. And that'll encourage others to come as well. Be that example, especially on big days. Listen, I don't understand. Easter Sunday, Friend Day, Roundup Sunday, Anniversary Sunday. Would some of you just dedicate yourself, I'm going to go down front. Just say, I'm going to go down front. On the big days, it's my job to go down front. It really discourages me as a pastor when we have these big, huge days. And I know there's tons of lost people in the auditorium, and nobody comes. Yeah. You stepping out and coming may encourage someone else to do so. So you say, well, preacher, you're saying even if the Lord doesn't speak to me, I don't know of any service the Lord doesn't speak to me. I mean, you come down and pray for, pray for a ladybug, do something. I don't know. Whatever random thought just came into my head. Y'all don't know what I'm thinking about up here. Number something, smile. Just smile. And this is an area I have to work on, even from up here. Just smile, smile, smile. God loves you. What you got to do with the blues anyhow? Christians ought to be the happiest people on earth. And sometimes we need to let our face know it. All right? So be careful. Smile. One of these areas, this is an area that we work hard with the teenagers and others and kids, but stop talking. And don't talk during the service. Help us during the prelude service. I have a tendency, sometimes even while the ladies are playing the organ, the piano, we kind of get to talking and, man, it's worship time. And let's do a good job. I know as a kid, if I got caught talking in church, I got in big trouble. And so I just want to encourage you. By the way, especially during the preaching, somebody may be convicted behind you, beside you, and you may interrupt that. And I want to encourage you, please, don't zip up your Bible during the invitation. Please, don't get up during the invitation. Please, please wait till afterwards. Don't put your coat on during the invitation. Amen? You say, preacher, don't get on to us. I don't care what you think. That's the most important part of the service. I mean, it's coming down to the end and, you know, gosh, man, just wait. You can wait a few minutes. You say, well, preacher's getting down on me. I don't know who's doing it. I can just hear it. And I just want to encourage you to stop and consider those who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And who are being distracted by us because we want to get home. I don't even have to talk about this one. Stay afterwards. Would some of y'all leave at least by 10 o'clock? I mean, can we have like a cutoff time? Say, we blink the lights and... No, honestly, this is I love this about our church. People hang out everywhere. Not so much on Sunday morning. Everybody's ready to get out, but Sunday night, Wednesday night, they'll be hanging out here for a while. That is a great indication of a healthy church. It really is. Forming relationships, encouraging each other. I encourage you, if you really want to get to know this church, hang out a little while. Don't just step out the door, but hang out. And it'll really make a big difference in your relationship to the church. Support the work financially, and I just encourage you, every member ought to be actively giving. Tithing, giving to missions. Our missions, I just want to encourage you, if you haven't started your new commitments to missions this year, be involved. Get involved in every area. As I said before, give in every service, even if it's 50 cents or a quarter. By the way, I don't think we've ever announced this, but all the loose change that's given in the offering plate goes to missions. We do that. We don't, anyway, it gets counted later, all the loose change, like not dollar bills, but the loose change. And here just the other day, we deposited $500 in the mission account from loose change. The children's church, they do that. They give the offerings they take up in children's church goes to missions. So just a thought, you know. So you say, well, I only have a quarter on me. Well, that quarter's going to go to missions if you give it. And the $5, the $10, $20, all those things are good too. So, but just give. Number, whatever this one is, stop what you're doing and go to church. Again, encourage you, arrive early. I mean, if you're excited about what you're doing at work, you'll get there early. If you're excited about the church, you'll get here early. And I just want to encourage you in that fashion, especially Sunday school teachers. By the way, all our Sunday school teachers and all of you, remember that your being here and arriving on time affects others. And so I just want to encourage everyone to be in your spot. We got a great, great big responsibility here. And we certainly don't want someone coming in, a visitor coming in, and not being someone in their spot to help a visitor and so forth. Okay? All right, let me cover just a few more things, and I promise we're done. Get in a Sunday school class and support it. Whatever adult class you choose, get in that class, stay there, and support that class. I mean, I'm talking about support that class. Get involved. Go to the activities. Help in the visitation area. Bring people to it. Enjoy, learn, support it. It'll make a huge difference. Again, be friendly in your Sunday school class. In other words, the Sunday school is our small groups. It's the best opportunity for others to meet others, for people to make friends and influence people. And so it's a small group. It's an opportunity for people don't want to just believe, they want to belong. And so it's a great place for you to develop relationships. I don't know how many, if I was to count them, there's many in this auditorium, people who have visited our church who became a part and friends of this group. You say, well, preacher, all we had is cliques in this church. Yeah, we do.
Amen.
I always tell people, find the clique that you're supposed to be in and get in it. There's plenty of cliques here. One of those cliques you will match up with. And I mean that in a good way. I really do. A lot of good people, friendliest people in the world are here. And there is a place for you to fit. There is a place for here for you to make friends. Really is. If you will get involved in your Sunday school class, get involved in the activities of your Sunday school class, get there early, stay a little late, and get to know people.
Yeah.
And I want to know our church family. That should be on your mind as we think about the little thing tonight, the little video. I mean, people sometimes get the idea that all we want to do is take, take, take. No, we want to give. We're here to encourage them. We're not here to sell them anything. Right? We're here to give them the good news of salvation and an opportunity to fellowship and to grow together and serve. I really believe we're not careful. We get tunnel vision, especially when it comes to the Sunday school. You're going to hear the term from the staff a lot more, evangelistic Sunday school. We're going to start using that term from here on out. Our Sunday school should be, needs to be, has to be, ought to be an evangelistic Sunday school. Yes, it's there to disciple and teach, but the Sunday school is the primary tool in our church to reach others. It really is. Evangelistic Sunday school. We can get the ideal that Sunday school is me, mine, and mine, or whatever, when it needs to be reaching out to others. Encourage you in that way. Get to Sunday school. Be careful about congregating in the hallways. Now, I do sound like a dad or something, getting on to people. But we do have the habit, some of you have the habit, of walking the hallways during Sunday school and this and that and that, unless you're on the security team, or whatever we call it now. Safety team. Government stepped in and said we can't call it security team anymore. Safety team. You really shouldn't be, running around the hallways. I mean, you ought to be in Sunday school somewhere. And that's supposed to be two guys on the safety team, and they're watching your vehicles. You're all good. Everybody all right? Be J.D. Weedo. Everybody all right? We're going to make it through this. Don't congregate in the hallways. You should be in a class. And we're going to really try to instruct Mr. Somebody to set the donuts down at 9:45. Oh, okay. Lastly, and kind of the theme tonight, think like a visitor. Maybe think about it for a second. Brother and sister, I'm not going to stop doing that, but I'm just saying, think like a visitor. Greeters, think like a visitor. Ushers, if you're walking and a visitor passes you, you should stop and shake their hand. And you should maybe say something like, "Can I help you?" Especially if you see, like they were doing on the video, kind of looking around. Man, stop them. Ask them. You say, "Well, I'm not an official greeter." You're a member of Heritage Baptist Church. Man, you are a greeter. Help somebody. Smile. Check with people. Don't look at a visitor and then turn like that one guy. That's hilarious. But it does happen. We look at a visitor and we kind of, man, take time. Look them in the eyeballs. Shake their hand. Ask them if they need something. Help in these check-in places. So I know we continue to, because of the day and age which we live in, we're having to check children in and check them out. And some of it's time-consuming. And we've tried to revise our check-in system, and we've done a good job with it. And we'll continue to improve it. But sometimes it takes a little time. I want to encourage those of you who are checking people in, whether you're in children's church, whether you're in Sunday school, whether you're a greeter, whatever it is, take into consideration if a family has four or five kids and they're having to fill all these forms out, right? Think like a visitor. You may want to help in another way. You may want to get an usher to help you take maybe some of the kids on to class while the mom is filling out the rest of the paperwork. In some of these areas, we have to do those things. We have to have the paperwork. We have to. But at the same time, we need to be considerate to those who are having to sit in that line or wait. And this would go with, I don't know who all does the check-ins in all the places, but whether it's Children's Church, Master's Club, greeters, whatever, when you're working in the information booth, let's be very careful. I've told the guys several times, we have all these checks and balances now that we've implemented the last couple of years, and I don't like them to a certain degree, because I know for a fact that it has turned some people away. I'd almost rather just do away with it. But I know the day and age which we live, we can't. And so let's do our very best to accommodate those who are coming, who are having to go through that process, and do our best to do that with as much help to them as we can. Think like a visitor. Think like a visitor. You see someone standing around, ask them if they need help. Shake their hands. We do need to be careful sometime with our verbiage. And I would encourage our Sunday school teachers, as you're teaching a lesson, and as a pastor of this church, that we be a little more coherent and thinking about what we're saying. And if we use a word or words that are not in the common vernacular out there in our society, that we define those. Even when at church here, when we talk about the Men of Valor breakfast, that's never really described very good as to what that is or who's the Men of Valor or Women of Virtue. We're putting together some brochures right now especially one really nice one, that will describe that. So the visitors from here on out, here in the next few weeks, will get a brochure in their visitor packet that gives them what these particular ministries are and defines them for them. We want to do that. We want people to know what they're getting into. Amen? So let's be careful. Think like a visitor, and your pastor will try as hard as I can as well. It's very hard for me. It really is, because having grown up in church, it is natural for me to do certain things and to step back and think, well, that's not what they think. That's not how they think. That's not what the everyday person walking the streets out there thinks. And that's who we're trying to reach. Amen? And so we need to do our very best without compromising, but do our very best to reach them. That's what it's about. Do all to the glory of God. It's important that we continue to go forward as a church, love our church, have a healthy church, and you can help in some very practical ways. I gave you about 15 right there. Just some practical things for you to think about and help in. Let's all stand. I know we've gone a little long. Let's sing a verse of invitation. Let's sing Have Thine Own Way, Lord, hymn 155.